Chapter 8. Terribly close to dangerous places. Dieu la chance was many things in life, sinner. Thief, liar, messiah. She wore many faces in the time we knew her. Desperate urchin and fledgling saviour and the red hand of God himself. But beyond all that, it must be said, she was always something of a clothes horse. She was not accustomed to wearing the guise of a mademoiselle, having spent most of her life hiding as a monsieur, yet having noted the way the Lady Amergen's eyes followed her when Rain thought Dior was not looking, we suspect the Grail was growing to appreciate the gown Lily had given her, despite initial misgivings. But as previously discussed, corsets are of little help when snatching some poor fool's purse, and additional layers of underthings help not at all when engaged in matters felonious. So she'd abandoned the gown in her boudoir, dressed now in maid's homespun as she stole through the secret passage behind her bookshelf, slipping down a narrow stair through a servant's entrance and out into the storm-washed courtyard. The impending attack had all in disarray, and the bailey of Dunmergen was a scene of almost chaos. Scorched were being sent to the outer walls in droves, runners and servants dashing to and fro, quartermasters bellowing for orders. News had apparently spread among the prisoners in Oldton that an attack was imminent, and hundreds of hapless mortal prisoners were at the Dun's gatehouse now, pressing to be let in. Squabbles were breaking out among the soldiers, the feuds of vampire masters spilling out among their scorched. And to finish all, the storm was raging harder, the snow so thick it was near to blinding. Through all this stole the holy grail of San Michon, clad in plain servant's cloth. Though all was bedlam about her, she was a girl raised in shadow, thieving to eat and lying to live. Beneath the shouting and thunder, she made her way past the barracks, the distillery, finally to the smithy, there crouching in the forge-warm dark at the building's back. All was a bustle within, Baptiste and other black thumbs busy with anvil and flame, doing last-minute work before the assault. We could see an iron saw hung upon the walls with other tools, sharp and saw-toothed. But even a girl born in shadow is not made of them, and there was no way she could filch it without discovery. She backed away, sucking her lip, batting us off again as we tried to settle on her skin. We knew not what she'd seen in that secret chamber beneath the Mother Maid's tomb, only that she appeared furious with us, pale blue eyes flashing as she swatted us away. And looking about her, the tumult and the rush, she spied young Joaquin Marin by the stables, down on his knee and hugging his hound Elena.
"Farewell, girl," he murmured. "You must take care of yourself now. I fear I'm..." "You don't have to say goodbye to her yet, Monsieur Marin."
The boy near flew out of his skin as Dior whispered, crouching now in the shadows at the stable's flanks. Sighing with relief as he saw her, Joaquin took a deep breath to steady himself. Elena nosed up to Dior, tail wagging as she slobbered on the Grail's face. Her master was dragging his hip flask from his boot, taking a long swallow. Peering at him closer, we saw young Joaquin was armed for battle. An oversized chain shirt sat ill upon his shoulders, under a threadbare padded tabard and a green cloak, a sword at his belt. The boy stood out among the soldiery like a wooden horse in a charge, and as he pressed the cork back into his flask, his hands were shaking.
"They're sending you to the walls,"
Dior breathed.
"They're sending everyone to the bloody walls," he spat. "I've never swung a sword in my life, and there's an army of Highlanders out there, baying for blood."
Dior squeezed his hand.
"Fear not, They're my friends.
Your friends? He hissed,
glancing about to make sure no one overheard them.
Every able body is being sent to the Newton battlements, and when dawn comes, your bloody friends are coming right over the top of us. Breathe easy.
Dior crouched lower, her voice a whisper.
We hit Nikita and Lily today. Cut off the head, and this serpent dies.
Joaquin swallowed thick, his face pale.
Is Isla, she's well. She's with us.
Dior smiled.
I promised her, and I'll promise you the same. You two are getting your ever after if it bloody kills me. But I need an iron saw, and the smithy is full. You think you can distract them? Half a moment is all I need.
The boy was breathing swift, clearly still afeared at the thought of the attack amorrow, and what might happen to his beloved tonight. But he steeled himself, looked into the Grail's eyes, and in his own we saw it again, that burning fire of total belief.
Oui, I can do that for you, Mademoiselle Dior.
The Grail squeezed his hand, and he unstopped his hip flask again, swallowed another belt for courage. Apparently in need of the same, Dior snatched the flask, downed the remainder in a single gulp. Wincing, she dragged her knuckles across her lips.
Seven martyrs, this shit tastes worse than it smells.
Keeps us warm. Joaquin gifted her a sad smirk. Till the killing starts, at least. She looked around the bailey, those men and women set to die at dawn. Most were terrified, barely half of them true soldiers, the rest press-ganged rabble like poor Joaquin here. They stood shivering in small knots, or staring toward that awful pit of bones, or marching out grim and silent toward the Newton walls. Dior ran a thumb over the hip flask in her hand, the initials of Joaquin and his beloved Isla engraved on the metal. She looked toward the distillery, then the forge, Baptiste's silhouette etched against the light.
Solène, go keep a watch for me in the smithy, she commanded.
Our wings fluttered at that, uncertain. We were perched on the stables above her head, a spot of crimson on snowy grey. We pressed upon her thoughts to see her game, but as ever, they were a locked room. She looked up at us then, the reflection of whatever she'd seen in that chamber below the Mother Maid's tomb carved upon her eyes as she spat, "Now, Solène!" We obeyed reluctantly, flitting across the courtyard, buffeted by howling winds. Through the snow-tossed air, into the forge light, we settled upon the smithy wall, our wings shivering in the heat of those flames. We counted 14 men in all, black thumbs and dog's bodies, hammering, hauling, hefting. But returning to Dior, we saw she'd already left her hide, stealing over to the rear of the ironworks. We heard a ruckus, Elena barking, the crash of metal within the forge, and swift as the wind, Dior was slipping inside into a babble of voices, Joaquin apologizing as the Grail stole out the back again, a conspicuous bulge under her skirts. We settled on her shoulder, and she seemed content to let us ride now, creeping back along the walls toward the dun, past the dreadful pit of frozen bones, back through the servants' entrance. She was stealing up the secret stair as rain caught her coming the other way. The older girl's gaze yet bore a trace of that shadow from beneath the tomb, but Dior's own eyes shone with excitement as she whispered,
"I have the saw. We need to get upstairs now,"
rain hissed. Dior blinked, lowering her voice further.
"Why?"
Rain talked as she walked, dragging Dior back toward the bedchambers.
"Nikita is to make a speech in the Hall of Plenty before the dawn. All his capitains and lords will be assembled. He's demanded your presence, properly attired. What the hell for?"
Rain reached the top of the stair, hauling Dior down the narrow passage.
There's a whisper of mutiny among the court. He means to hold you up as proof the Vos will come to their aid. Buoy the courage of his bloodlords before the Highlanders strike.
Dior looked down at her grubby servant's cloth.
Shit! I'll help you. Fear not. But we must hurry.
The bookshelf creaked open, the pair stealing back into Dior's boudoir, closing the hidden door behind them. Dragging the iron saw from beneath her skirts, Dior tossed it on the bed.
I don't know if it'll cut silver, but it looked the sharpest they had.
Rain nodded, hiding the blade beneath the covers.
I'll get it to Jilly and Morgana after we're done. Come, let's be swift.
Dior kicked off her shoes, her hose, and I saw she was bleeding again, that gash in the arch of her foot reopened. Dragging off her homespun dress and casting it aside, she stood near naked, clad only in her silken shift, pale and thin and shivering.
This doesn't feel right. Nothing I've not seen before,
Rain teased, slipping an undertunic over her head.
Dior looked at the older girl and scoffed, but her smile swiftly died.
That's not what I mean. I mean asking Jilly and Morgana to go into danger. You don't have to ask. They'll offer.
Rain looked her in the eye.
That's what love and loyalty are. And they hold both for you now, doubt it not. They don't even know me. How can they? They know you risk all for the sake of people you've never met. They know you freed them and the boys they love from service to a pair of the most twisted evils this world has ever known. They know you'd spill your last drop of blood for this if needs be.
Rain sank to her knees, binding Dior's bleeding foot with a fresh strip of cloth.
They know you as well as I, Dior Lachance. They know you to be brave as martyrs and bright as heavens and fierce as wolves. That you are someone worth fighting for.
The Grail scowled, reaching up to drag her mop of ashen hair down over her face. But her cheeks were flushed with the princess's flattery, heart quickening at the older girl's smile, her gentle touch as Rain slipped a new brace of silken hose up her bare legs. Again, the princess's hands were skirting terribly close to dangerous places, and perhaps, to take her mind off how high those fingertips were drifting, Dior spoke.
Why don't you have an accent?
Rain blinked at the strange question, tying a silken bow around Dior's thigh.
I do have an accent.
Not an Ossian one. Jilly and Morgana have accents heavy enough to anchor a ship in the harbour, but you sound different. Rain breathed deep, finished tying Dior's stocking. Her fingertips slipped down the inside of Dior's thigh, and the girl's heart thundered like a warhorse at gallop. But standing, Rain bid Dior raise her arms, lifting the gown of pale velvet over the Grail's head. The pair battled with the dress a moment, cursing, finally hauling it into place. Pawing her hair from her face, Dior saw the princess was staring at her now, her mismatched gaze gone heavy.
You asked why I wasn't in any of the portraits around the keep.
I never asked why, Dior replied.
It's none of my business why. My mother, that is to say, the...
Rain fell silent, smooth brow furrowed. Dior reached toward her, uncertain, fingertips hovering just shy of the other girl's skin.
You don't have to tell me, Rain. It's all right.
But the lady shook her head, resolute.
I told you my mother's husband died during the clan wars. She ruled Oswey from the Splintered Isles to the Moon's Throne by then. All she'd fought for had come to pass, but she was lonely, with her husband gone.
Rain smoothed back an errant lock of hair, sighing.
She met a man on her campaigns, a wanderer, a young warrior from the north who knew poetry and philosophy, who charmed a battle-weary widow with his stories and smile. I think she loved him, but only briefly. And then he was gone. He was your father,
Dior murmured.
I don't even know his name, Rain sighed. But I know when he left, he broke Mother's heart. And I think whenever she looked at me, she saw that man who'd made her such a fool. I think I shamed her. So she sent me away, raised in Ellidane by second cousins.
That's pig shit, Dior whispered. It wasn't your fault your papa was a dog.
No,
Rain sighed.
Now close your eyes and turn around. I'll try to be gentle.
You what? The princess held up the dreaded corset between them, and groaning understanding, the Grail obeyed, holding her breath as Rain began strapping her in.
Mother spared no expense in raising me, at least, she said, binding the stays. A matter of principle, I think. I was trained in swordcraft by the Chantilème at Montfort, educated by the Holy Sisters of Evangeline at the Académie Grande in Augustine. Lucky for some,
Dior winced, insides adjusting as Rain tightened her whalebone prison. My mamma never even bothered to feed me most days toward the end.
I wonder which is worse.
Rain smiled, cold and mirthless. The mother who doesn't care, or the mother who only pretends to.
I wager you dress and eat better with the latter, Highness.
Rain chuckled at that.
Touché.
Dior was sat down before the looking glass, closing her eyes as the older girl began powdering her face.
What made you come back to Oswey, then? I returned when the wars with the Divok deepened. This was my homeland, and I wanted to help, but neither mother nor her court nor my sisters welcomed me back. They treated me as the bastard, the half-blood. I stood silent in those war councils. I walked past those portraits every day, not a single painting of me anywhere, and I knew what they all thought of me. When the Black Heart attacked the city, Una was declared commander of Mother's legions. Kate was a captain in her fleet. I was charged with guarding the bloody food stores.
Rain scoffed, bitter and sharp.
13 years studying with the Bladesingers of Montfort for that. The soldiers who followed me only did so because they were ordered to. We never even got to fight.
Dior's eyes were closed as Rain edged them with coal, but she heard the girl sigh.
I was born a daughter of the greatest leader this country has ever known, and no one in my whole life expected a drop of greatness from me, not even her. Then she was an idiot.
Dior opened dark-rimmed eyes, found Rain scowling at her.
Do not talk about my mother so,
the princess spat.
Niamh Amergen united 9 warring clans to sit her throne. She conquered all Oswey by the time she was 25. I know, I know.
Dior rolled her eyes. She forged a blade out of her enemy's swords and shot fireballs from her arse and still had perfect tits and no stretch marks after squeezing out 5 puppies, I'm sure. Doesn't mean she wasn't a cunt.
How dare you?
Rain spat, stepping back.
Who are you to talk so? Some common... I know what it is to grow up with a mother who doesn't care. I know a woman who has a statue of herself erected in her own bloody foyer probably had some demons, and growing up in that statue's shadow probably left you with some too.
Dior rose to her feet, eyes on the princess.
But you told me yourself, Highness. We're not where we're born or who we're born from. That's doubly true for you. The folk who follow you tonight don't do so because you were born Niamh's daughter. They do it because the fire in you warms all the folk around you, because nothing feels quite as impossible when you're near.
Dior planted a soft kiss on the princess's cheek.
You don't stand in the 9 Swords' shadow, Rain Amergen. You burn far too bright for that.
The Grail breathed deep and sighed.
Now... I'd better get...
Dior fell silent as Rain touched her cheek, running soft fingertips over her powdered skin. The princess's hand was shaking, her pupils wide and dark as skies above. And drawing one deep breath, small spots of pink at her freckled cheeks, she stepped slowly forward as if in a daze, pressing soft lips to Dior's. The touch was tentative, gentle, a kiss and a question all at once, and drawing back for one endless moment to search her eyes, Dior answered, crushing her lips to Rain's. They melted against each other then, all bright flame and soft sighs, Rain enfolding Dior's waist in her embrace, Dior throwing her arms around the taller girl's neck. And there in the gloom they kissed, as if for that moment all the world ceased to matter, not the rising cold, nor the coming storm, not the battle looming, nor the ending beckoning, but just two, skin to skin, all of them a shiver. It lasted but a handful of heartbeats, that kiss, but it seemed to promise more, if only they were given the chance at it. And as they parted, Dior chased her quarry as she retreated, scattering the princess's cheeks and lips with a handful of tiny kisses, each seeming a vow to return, not a goodbye, but a godspeed, not an ending, but a beginning.
First time?
Dior breathed, lips brushing Rain's.
The princess shivered. Not the last, I hope. Something to pray for.
Dior kissed her again, swift and burning. Now, get my hair on, Highness, before they rip my pretty fucking head off.
That single word, that they, killed all the warmth left in the moment, inviting the bitter bleak cold back into the room. Working swift, Rain fixed the tower of powdered curls atop Dior's head, applying a gloss of thin red paint to those bee-stung lips, a touch of darker ink to the beauty spot on Dior's cheek. But as the grail stood, their fingers touched, just a breath, just a beat, and in that tiny fragment of stolen time, all the warmth returned, a fire burning now between them, the promise of something warmer still after the dawn, and one more reason to live to see it. Fingers parting, but no longer apart, the girls descended to the feast.